Welcome to Breaking the Panel. This is episode 225, volume 4. I got thrown off by something being allowed in the chat room. That's all right. I'm Charles McFall. Right here on Zoom to my left is Philip Keating. Oh, damn, man. I always get on my boy about doing that. Down south is Paul Klotz. Kinda-ish on Zoom. I don't know. Don't say hey, that's fine. Be that way.
I mean, you muted me, so you took away my free will, my sovereign choice.
Yes.
So I just figured you didn't want me to talk.
Not particularly, but I opened
it up. Goddamn censorship is goddamn bullshit. You ain't got that over at free speech. Come on, brother. Let's do a podcast over at free speech.
All right. And then he went and got his WWE World Champion belt that spins. Scotty Moe.
Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, the World Heavyweight Champion is here. He's ready to take the show, cause some chaos. Let's talk about it, baby. The hero of the JWF has arrived, Batty.
I don't even know what those words mean. All right, but we're gonna talk about your idea. Your idea was we need to come up with shitty wrestling ideas and you're gonna make it work.
Okay, so here's the thing. I do, in the world of podcasting, it's very, very difficult to come up with an idea that no one else does. And I luckily have, because for years I've hosted the Fight Boys professional wrestling podcast, but we recently launched JWF Monday Night Ignition, which is the world's only professional wrestling audio drama. In other words, everything you get watching WWE Raw or SmackDown, but in audio format, which I feel like people like to watch the wrestling, but still doesn't matter. But that also means I have to create characters, I have to write out storylines, and I got a fucking guy who wears a mask named the Hammer Man. And he is probably one of the biggest competitors we have. I'm good at taking garbage wrestlers and making them impressive. So your goal today is to try to throw me off. See if you can give me a wrestler that I can't make good.
All right. Wow. This one's tough. This one's tough. A wrestler you can't make good.
And like you could, don't just say, if you say John Cena, like I could do that in a heartbeat. But if you, I want a full character. If you want to do that, or you could just give me a simple idea and see if I could turn it into a wrestling thing.
Well, going off of my love of JJ Abrams, you have like Lens Flare Man. Yeah, some work in lens flare and the changing of people's histories. That is your character.
So wait, like he changes people's history?
Like if he beats you, he changes your backstory. Like, because you were bitching about, in one of the segments we recorded, you were bitching about how JJ screwed up the turtles. It changed how they
were. Oh, okay. Yeah. That sounds more like just Vince McMahon as a whole, as a wrestling... He just constantly forgets shit that's happened in the past and wants to throw stuff in. And actually, now that I think about it, Vince McMahon really is the J.J. Abrams of professional wrestling. Because at this point, he's like, story doesn't fucking matter. Just make some great moments out there and see what kind of weird effects we can. Like, I don't know what it is, but he's gotten into virtual reality, augmented reality now. To where there's just like 3D versions of wrestlers' logos floating in the middle of the arena. Like really? At one point, there's a group of wrestlers I love called The New Day, and I love them to death. They're three big black guys, but they love unicorns, pancakes, and trombones. And they came out to the ring, and there was just a shit ton of
Holy Trilogy.
Unicorns.
The Holy Trilogy.
Oh, and anime. They came out dressed as Saiyans at WrestleMania once.
I think one of those guys comes to Dragon Con, didn't they dress as the Marriott carpet for one of the wrestlers?
That's Xavier Woods.
He was supposed to be on their panel.
Yeah, yeah. Xavier was going to be on our panel. Yeah. It didn't quite work.
No. All right, so here's a character for you, Scotty Mo.
Okay.
Gary Steuben. He's been a SEPTA bus driver for 40 years, and he's just about to retire from driving the city bus for Philadelphia. He's got no nonsense policy, and has an allergy to turnips. All right, go for it.
Because allergies don't usually come up in wrestling. Like, I feel like we could, like, if we wanted, pull some weird Superman bullshit where, like, actually, no, that's fucking good, actually. Because I love this Clint Eastwood attitude that you're developing for this guy. And A, he would fit in perfectly in the early 90s where you had guys like Duke the Dumpster Drosy. You had Knuckleball Schwartz, who was just a baseball boy. I think this guy would fit in that area, but I also love him being like this Clint Eastwood, I'm not going to take anybody's shit. And I love this idea that he's just a brawler and will beat the shit out of anybody. And then like I think I would eventually give him the World Heavyweight Championship, let him run with it for a few, almost like Goldberg in WCW, like undefeated, dude's dominant. And then finally one dude realizes his weakness is turnips. And so comes out to the ring, pelts him with turnips. And it leads to him getting pinned. And then you would have a heel. It would be whoever the heel is, whoever the bad guy is. Then there would be a no turnips match where he's not allowed to bring turnips.
No. Wow.
But no. But what you don't know is after he lost the belt, he's been doing immersion therapy to kind of get over his allergy of turnips.
Oh, shit. Wow. I'm like a... that's actually good, because that reminds me, there was an angle they did in AEW, which is the wrestling show that's on TNT now. They did an angle where the guy who's now their champion had his eye prodded out with a key. So his eye was stabbed in with a key. Yeah, yeah. And spent 2 months with an eye patch over it. And then during his title match, it was brutal, blood pouring down his face. And then right before the big finish of the match, pulls up the eye patch and realizes, oh, I've been able to see. My eye's been healed.
Oh my God.
Drops the guy. So it would be like that. And it would almost be a Princess Bride moment of I've spent the last 5 years trying to get over my fear of turnips or whatever. I am looking in chat, and Delphine Raven says, Jeffrey Hepstein, a smarmy zoot suit wearing wrestler who is always accompanied by women dressed as schoolgirls. I need you to know that this already exists.
Wait. But he never pins himself, just so we're clear.
Yeah. No, this reminds me of a guy I saw on the independent wrestling scene. And the name... Oh, it's so bad. His name was Rape Face Ronnie Jenkins.
Oh, boy.
And he didn't come out in a zoot suit. He came out in, like, really distraught, nasty clothing in a big old white van with two schoolgirls with him. And his theme song was 17 by Winger. So this Jeffrey Hepstein already exists.
This is... Scary.
I'm telling you, like, what's bad? Anything in wrestling, you could be like, oh, this. I'm like, no, a version of that existed at some point.
See, this allergy to turnips thing has got me thinking that I want to see a face that is allergic to peanuts. And then the heel comes out, and during his walkout, he just pulls a PB&J out of his trousers. And the face is just like choking in the ring. there's peanut particles in the air going into shock. And I just want to see something like that. Like, it's like when they used to do the like the magical powers that some of like the shamanistic type characters would have. And so I want to see something like that, but it's just a PB&J. Like,
kind of want to see the exact opposite, like as far as the dynamic is turned up, and do a heel. I've always wanted, and we tried to do this, but I wanted a heel who was very like a millennial asshole who came out to the ring and vaped, who was a vegan, like all of that generic bullshit. And I almost like pulling a Scott Pilgrim with him where the baby face makes him eat something that has like meat in it or something. Wow. And he's like, no. And that could lead to a big rivalry between them.
I got you one.
Okay.
Because of your inspirations, I want to see Brian Brushwood as a wrestler.
I mean, it would be Guile from Street Fighter. Like, it would. If you want to go that old, the old Brushwood attitude. Actually, no. Brian is genuinely, he would be great as a wrestler. And that's not a joke, because he would be a great heel. Because Brian's whole shtick is about trying to be as lazy as possible to get out as much result. It is social engineering. And so he would be a great heel who, like, it doesn't win a lot, but keeps getting rewarded. And then you slowly find out it's through him manipulating the guy running it.
Wow.
So I think that would be really, really good. In fact, hey, I think about some of the stuff that Brian says when I have to write promos.
He says some things, that's for sure.
Oh, shit. Oh, what if he was a babyface, allegedly a babyface, the whole time, and then once he reached the peak, once he became world heavyweight champion, is the moment he turns on everybody.
Like John Cena?
John was never, no matter how much the people wanted, John was never a heel. But CM Punk, right before he left Ring of Honor to go to WWE, won the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship, which no one thought was going to happen because he was leaving for another company. And he grabbed the mic, everyone's cheering, everyone's in love with him, and he immediately turns on them and is like, all of you fools. Like, and he cuts this promo about, like, there was an old man once, and the old man found a sick snake on the side of the road, and he took the snake in, and he cared for it, and he raised it, and then the minute that the snake had an opportunity, he turned around and bit the old man in the ankle. And when the old man asked him, after I've helped you for so many years, why would you do this? He goes, because I'm a snake, you son of a bitch. And that's the moment the whole crowd turned off. That would be Brushwood, is him just being this a little too nice personality, turning on everybody once he got what he wanted.
All right. I get you. Now, I changed the direction a little bit here. I've been curious. I haven't taken the time to look at it on USA Network app or whatever. But we know now that, you know, WWE is going on, right? But they're wrestling to no audience. And obviously, because of the podcast you do, you keep watching it. How is it? How different is that to watch and to see them? Are they wrestling different? Is the energy different to have nobody, essentially, you know, no crowds in the room?
It was rough at first. Because like I said, actually, WWE is all right. AEW, which is on TNT, is my favorite show.
Okay.
And they were very smart, because the minute they realized, oh no, we can't have people in the audience, they just sent the wrestlers who weren't having matches out in the crowd. So then you still got the audience noise. And so everyone's still performing as usual. They're just are going towards less people. The thing that I love the most that's happened is the rise of what we describe as cinematic wrestling, which is essentially, you remember, oh God, what, They Live, that long ass fight scene between Roddy Piper and, oh God, I can't remember his name, but you know that long fight scene in the middle of They Live. It's that. So at WrestleMania, The Undertaker was like fighting AJ Styles, and he goes, we're going to have a graveyard match. And everyone, we made fun of it. We're like, this is going to be the dumbest thing in the entire world. and it was just a fucking episode of Walker, Texas Ranger, because it was literally they show up to a real graveyard and proceed to brawl all over that thing. And because he's the Undertaker, he was able to do like mystical shit. So like AJ threw him into the grave and was like, oh, I'm about to bury you. The match is about to be over. And then this massive light hits, lightning strikes, and then Undertaker shows up behind AJ. And so since it's cinematic, they have the ability to do buck wild shit. Like, wow. Speaking of John Cena, the only time he's ever quote unquote been a bad guy was in his match at WrestleMania, because he was fighting a guy named Bray Wyatt, who is, how do I describe Bray Wyatt? And in fact, it honestly sounds like something you guys would have brought to try to trip me up. Imagine Mr. Rogers. But Mr. Rogers is actually trapped in his own mind, and he's got a demon named The Fiend, who's a giant scary clown that he sends out to attack people in the ring. It's so much better than you think it would be. And so his show is called The Firefly Funhouse, and he's all happy and shit. And so he says, we're going to have a Firefly Funhouse match. And it's nothing but, and it's the smartest thing they've ever done. It is a breakdown of John Cena's career throughout the ages and how John Cena has used his ego to put himself over as opposed to getting new talent over. So there's this point in the match where they go back to WrestleMania 30, and I know I'm nerding it up, but you gave me the opportunity.
Yeah, go for it.
But at WrestleMania 30, John was fighting Bray Wyatt, who was the hottest thing in wrestling at the time. And so everyone was like, oh, Bray has to beat John. This is his coronation to become the next hot thing in WWE. No, John beat him. And that was the story of John Cena. Whoever was the hot new thing in the company would be on an uphill rise, then get beat by John Cena. And so they go to that moment, and then Bray flashes in and says, like, you could have changed everything. You can change it right now, John. You can change it. And he gives John a steel chair and is like, attack me, John. And so then he whacks him over the head with the steel chair, effectively making John Cena turn heel, which is something John said he would never do. And then the next scene, I swear to God, he shows up as a member of the NWO on WCW Nitro in 1996. Because that's the big, like, that's the ultimate heel turn of all time, was when Hulk Hogan turned to join the NWO. So they're paralleling it.
Yeah.
And so then John, like, realizes, oh no, I've made so many mistakes throughout my career. And he turns around, and The Fiend, Bray Wyatt's demon, is there and attacks him, pins him, 1, 2, 3, end of match. Fucking crazy.
This sounds like it's so far from what wrestling began as, you know? Although I bet Chris is killing himself that he's not here right now, because he loves talking wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Breaking the Panel is made possible by you and other listeners just as awesome as you are. If you want to support the show and get a little something in return, just go to patreon.com/breakingthepanel, because we do appreciate the help.
It's fine. Like, it's weird having not as many fans, but it's good.
So do you have an all-time favorite wrestler that either you grew up with or throughout the years?
CM Punk has always been my favorite wrestler.
See, I always went Kane, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, CM Punk's more recent than Kane. Been around forever. But yeah, if you want to talk about, because like I liked wrestling, but I didn't fall in love with it until CM Punk. That was the moment I realized, like, oh, this can be smart and interesting.
Well, see, for me, like Mick Foley.
Yep.
Mick Foley is, I'm from the suburbs of Philly. ECW was born in Philadelphia, right? So like Mick Foley is a hero in Philadelphia, because that's where he shined the brightest until he moved on, you know, to bigger and better things. And so like we grew up with Cactus Jack and Socko and all that shit. And literally, you know, when the N64 came out, you had literally the best wrestling games, video games, still arguably to this day, you know, with the character creation back there in 98, 99. And God damn, you know, this really brings me back to that era, you know, when I first fell in love with wrestling, when it was, you know, the late 80s, and then falling out, yeah, and then coming back in the 90s, when you, yep, had all these, you know, The Rock, Steve Austin, yep, Kane, Undertaker, you know, you had Sting, right? Sting used to hide up in the rafters with fucking bats, and then he would jump down every so often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
What about you, Charles? Did you have a favorite wrestler?
Well, besides the Hardy brothers,
they're still going. By
yeah,
the way.
I know they left and went to TNA for a while, and I'm sure they floated around.
Matt, because you know Jeff was always the big deal. Matt has overshadowed him so much in recent years.
So I've never been a big wrestling fan. I grew up like you're talking about, Phil, in the 80s, watching Mean Gene Green and Hulk Hogan and all that. And,
oh, it's all about Macho Man, brother. Yeah. Ooh, Mean Gene, let me hit this line of coke and then finish this interview you got going on right now. Ooh, Hogan, I'm so pissed because these fucking Slim Jims are out of date, but I'm still going to eat them, man. Like, that's that intensity, that roids, that cocaine.
My favorite Macho Man interview of all time is actually from, if you guys are watching live, the background I'm on, it's this interview. And it's him talking to Mean Gene, and he's just like, oh yeah, the Macho Man, you know, he's the cream of the crop. Yeah. And he pulls out a small thing, a creamer, and Mean Gene's like, oh, okay, that's a fun little bit. And then he just keeps pulling out more creamer like a fucking magician. Brian Brushwood wishes he could do this shit.
Rises to the top.
It was such a big deal when we were kids, when Hulk Hogan and Macho Man were tag team partners, but they were both in the Royal Rumble, and Hulk Hogan accidentally knocks out Macho Man, and they he's the last man standing for like a minute and a half until they release the next wrestler, and they hug it out at the end. That was a big thing. But I came back in the 90s. A friend of mine got me into it, and I was in love with The Rock. I mean, who wasn't, right? And Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I randomly, from time to time, just enter contests. And I entered this radio contest and won tickets to go see SummerSlam, I think, 98. And they flew us to this podunk town in North Carolina. And we got to watch this championship pay-per-view event live and get put up in a hotel. But I got to see Jeff Hardy jump off a three-story cage through a table, and I'm like, you see anybody do something like that live? That's godlike, man. Mm-hmm. That's just crazy.
See, that's what I love about wrestling, is like, it is the closest thing to, like, people are like, oh, that's just like a macho dude bullshit. I'm like, no, it is the closest thing to real life comic books. Because my favorite thing about comic books is not reading them. It is going to the Wikipedia page of like Spider-Man, clicking alternate versions and just reading all the random bullshit Spider-Man's got up to. You can do the same thing with like John Cena, with Bray Wyatt, with the Hardy Boys. See all of the different things they've gone through in these massive contests. Like, that's why I was saying, like, Vince McMahon doesn't remember his history that well, because if he did, there are so many more stories that could be told.
Yeah, that's the hard part. That's the crazy part. I mean, Paul, you're kind of riding the bench there. You have any wrestling fandoms that you grew up with, or at any point?
I mean, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, so I did watch some of it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But the only wrestling things I've ever actually like cared about and enjoyed are GLOW, the Netflix show. Kaiju Big Battle.
Oh, yes! And I did not expect a Kaiju Big Battle reference on this show. Fuck yeah.
And Hulk Hogan episode of Epic Rap Battles of History, which is amazing. So like, I don't know. At some point when I hit adolescence, I just was like, I don't like this. And I just have never gone back to it. But I love GLOW. That show is so good.
Yeah.
And I think I've talked about this before. You were kind of touching on it earlier, Scotty. Like, the issue that I've always had is, and please, I'm not trying to be offensive to anybody who's a fan of wrestling, and certainly not to our esteemed guest, but I always was put off by the like white trash aspect of it, like the just like you said, the macho.
Oh yeah,
not
yeah.
macho man, but the like the
machismo.
Yeah, we yeah. solve all of our problems with anger and roar. Everybody's a Hulk, basically. And I don't mean yeah, yeah. Hulk Hogan.
Oh, no, that is no longer the case. Like, I think, and the greatest thing to ever happen to wrestling is in the 90s when Vince McMahon was forced to come out on television and say, this is all fake. Because that yeah. was the minute they no longer had to put up an act and were allowed to go as crazy as they want to. And so now there are guys who will do, like, and I feel like it works even better now because you do have guys like one of my favorite wrestlers is Kenny Omega. When he wrestled in Japan, that man was a fucking anime villain. Like he would walk and he would win a match and then grab the microphone and just cackle maniacally like, is something wrong, Kushida? Like epic promos from this guy. And you wouldn't have been able to get that in like the 80s when shit had to be super real. So yeah. now that, and what I love about those kind of guys who make that is when other people do the this is real thing, it makes it feel all the more real because it's like, oh, those two guys are having fun over there with that story and you can tell everybody likes each other. But then there are certain cases, like I said, where John Moxley, eye patch, blood covering his face is the moment you realize, he's actually mad. This is actually about to be a bloodbath. Like, I love it so much. And I do think the white trash aspect is gone out and it has become so much more nerdy. It is like one of my favorite wrestlers is a guy who his entire character is that he is a gentleman and he does not want to wrestle. He is the he's the world's sweetest man, Gentleman Jervis. And he comes out to the ring and he actively tries not to like throw punches. He actively tries not to go off the top rope for anything. Like one of his matches, he ended it by rocking his opponent to sleep. And like gingerly, like a baby, laying them on the ground and then quietly pinning them for the victory. Like it's so much more nerdy and weird now.
You're really just burying the lead to tell everybody that he is in a full face mask with a bowler cap and drawn on monocles.
Yeah, yeah. If you watch his match versus Orange Cassidy, I think it was at Wrestle Circus in Austin, Texas. It's probably one of my favorite independent matches of all time.
So if you could bring one person back from all of history to revamp, or even a character, right, to come back into 2020 wrestling, who would you bring back in?
Do they have to be a wrestler?
No.
Because, like, the obvious answer, and I think it might only be obvious to me, is, like, Abe Lincoln. Because he was a wrestler.
Okay, so it has to be a wrestler.
Okay.
Get your bullshit answer out of here.
Abe Lincoln, yeah. Vampire Hunter, yes. Enters the ring.
It sucks because, like, to perform or just yeah. to have their mind?
Nope. To fully in costume perform, and if it's a character piece, to be full blown in character like they were in their prime.
Yeah, if it was somebody just for their mind, I would bring back Dusty Rhodes. Dusty Rhodes was the
greatest. That's who I was gonna say. Dusty Rhodes.
He was the greatest. Like AEW, the company I'm talking about, was started by Cody's or Dusty.
American Dream. Cody.
Yeah, yeah. And he is probably one of the smart. Look up Cody telling stories about Dusty because that man's amazing. If we're talking about a guy who I think was really ahead of his time and would work great now, Brian Pillman. Because last quote-unquote segment, episode, whatever, you were talking about Andy Kaufman. Brian yeah. Pillman was the Andy Kaufman of professional wrestling because for a while, he actually worked with Stone Cold Steve Austin a lot back when they were the Hollywood Blondes. They were these over-the-top baby faces and then eventually became heels, but nothing really clicked with them. Whereas Steve Austin went on to become Stone Cold, Brian Pillman went to ECW and started becoming this very unhinged, deranged character who was a literal sociopath. And it did not stop once he left. There are still stories to this day of people being like, I don't know where Brian started and stopped. Like, I don't know where the character was.
No, he was the Ziggy Stardust of wrestling.
Like, that man was insane. Like, one of the most famous clips of him when he was in this time was he was feuding with Steve Austin in WWE, and they went to his house and did an interview, and the whole story of it was Stone Cold's going to come and attack him. Stone Cold's going to come out and get him, and he's going to invade his house. And at the end of the promo, Brian pulled out a real gun. No one knew he had the gun.
Holy cow.
And he goes, if he's going to come in my house, he's going to get this. And he shot the bullet in the air. Like, he was a literal sociopath. And it's that kind of dedication to a character that I would love to bring back, because he was also a great worker, great wrestler. And I think he would still work well nowadays.
A little scary. Simpkin in the chat asked, so what story do you want to see told that was left unfinished?
Oh, like, no, the majority of the ones in WWE, because here's the thing. WWE is very good at starting a storyline that's very fucking enticing and never finishing it up or giving it, like, there's been two in the past year that I can think of. And one, they started this thing where a babyface who no one knew who it was hacking into SmackDown and affecting matches, so it would screw things up, and then the match would come back, the babyface would get the victory, and then the heel, like, if the heel had done something dastardly backstage, they would show it, so it'd be like the truth will be revealed. That's just been dropped. No one's talking about it. That's just been abandoned. That was one. The worst one was, there's this guy named Eric Rowan, big scary motherfucker with a big ass red beard, was walking around with this just steel cage with something in it. We don't know what it was. And so this whole storyline was like, he's got a beast in that cage. He's got this crazy animal in the cage. And yeah, it's a little dumb, but also we're all like, what the fuck's in the cage? It was just a big old spider. That was it. That was the whole payoff to this week-long angles. He had a big spider in there. So, like, I think WWE is very good at setting things up and terrible at knocking them out of the park. But as far as, like, stories that haven't even been told yet, I think all companies really need some more representation, some LGBT storylines that aren't just based around, ooh, look at these two girls kissing, ain't that something?
Yeah.
Or, hey, ain't it funny that this guy is kissing another guy? Because, like, they've had opportunities over the years. They had Darren Young come out as the first openly gay WWE superstar. Did nothing with it. They've got Sonya Deville, who works for SmackDown right now, who is, I think she's bisexual, wanted to do a queer storyline with her tag team partner at the time. And I don't know what it would have been, but, like, they wanted to do something like that just to get more representation, but they don't do it. And so that's kind of what I'm thinking with it. Like, those are the stories I want to hear more of. Like, there's a guy who got exposed to be a shithead a couple of weeks ago, so fuck him. But I will say, he was in, I can't remember what the name of the company was, but they were trying to get a TV deal going. And so everything was very TV based. Everyone kind of had real scripted things. And he was going to be the first, like, openly gay character in professional wrestling. Because while Darren Young came out as a gay athlete, the character of Darren Young, they didn't really do anything with that. But that guy's character came out on TV once and said, like, I've been living as a gay man. I've had to hide it, and I don't want to hide anymore. And the crowd cheered around him. They were like, fuck yes. And he was going to be, like, their proud champion. Then he was a shithead, and the project went nowhere. But still, like, those are the stories I want to hear.
I got you, man. Now, you obviously do shows about this. Tell us about where people can find you on the web and your shows.
You can find, if you go to the Fight Boys YouTube channel, that's where you can find everything. You can find JWF, which I said is an audio only pro wrestling experience, but also we have the quote unquote developmental territory, which is where we are actually just playing WWE 2K19 and we have another show called Developmentally Unstable, which is where we make wrestlers. So we'll make two wrestlers, have them fight, and then we'll throw them into developmental. And from there, we'll just play with the characters, see what we like about them, see what needs to change about them. And so you get to literally watch these characters grow from going just made on a show, had a few jokes made about them. Then they go to JXT, and then you get to see them wrestle, and we get to learn their style of wrestling and the style of character they are. And then you get to see them move all the way up to JWF, where they get to have promos and they get to have full storylines built around them. And all of that's on YouTube. Just look up Fight Boys. Boys is spelled with a Z. And then if you want to find all my other shows, they're at aloadofpurebs.com.
There you go. Paul, what's our humble hit for this evening?
Well, we're going to close out this week by talking about the July Humble Choice. Go check that out. Use our link if you haven't signed up before. You will support the show. It is, it's got some games in it and stuff. It's the cool one we talked about when Steve was on the show, Void Bastards. I've played that. It's a really neat game. It has Age of Wonders Planetfall, which is a strategy game that has some unique elements. Deluxe Edition, you can check that out as well. So yeah, just go see it. If you like it, if you've never signed up before and you use our link, you help support the show.
And you can find all of those links over at GiantSizeTeamUp.com/BreakingThePanel. Support the show at Patreon.com/BreakingThePanel. And join us on Twitch.tv. Phil, where can they find you on the web?
Imaginary Nomad on Twitch, Twitter, Instagram with a one. I am currently streaming four nights a week. That schedule is over at twitch.tv/imaginary nomad. Botch Podcast is doing watch parties every Monday night at 8:30. We just did Running Man, and this week is still undecided because the patrons haven't given us enough bad ideas where we just make up our own movie. I keep pitching Passion of the Christ, but nobody seems to want to get down with that. I think it's the perfect movie to fucking do. So check that out over on Botch Podcast on the Twitch. And Nook's Tavern is the Animal Crossing podcast that I do every Thursday night live in studio in game over at twitch.tv/Nook's Tavern.
Passion of the Christ, not enough rattlesnakes in it. Paul, where can they find you?
Sometimes people just want a good snuff film to watch.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, he has risen. He has risen, Scotty Bo.
And man, snuff him out some more and he will rise again.
Man, you nailed it on that
joke. Like the South.
Where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitch and Twitter at SoapboxGSC. You can find me on Crash Test Pilots with my wonderful partner in all things, Nicole, where we watch the first episode of television programs and give you the rundown. We will be kicking off season 3 this upcoming week, so stay tuned for that. Next week will be the first episode of season 3. We've got some cool guests lined up for season 3, and we're going to have a lot of fun, so check that out.
That sounds awesome. I'm Charles McFall, Rock Out of Podcasting. You can Google me and find it. And on TikTok, currently, you can find me as Charles McFall with a few gaming videos up there. And watch me on twitch.tv/Charles McFall. And if you play Call of Duty, I'm Fat Jesus. So come check me out. All right, we'll be back next week with some more shenanigans. And who knows what the guest will show up. But we always have somebody fun. Thanks for being on, Scotty. We appreciate you, man.
Woo!
If you want to get in touch with Breaking the Panel, you'll find Charles at Rock God of Pod. Phil is at Imaginary Nomad. Chris is at In All Things Wisdom. And Paul can be found at Soapbox GSTU. If you love the show and just want to support what we do, hit us up at patreon.com/breakingthepanel and you'll help us make this thing each and every week. If you want to watch the show live each week, go to twitch.tv/GSTU and follow us to know when we're recording. And if you're looking for more kick-ass shows like this one, go to GSTU.net.